the NCHC.TV studios. This is College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by the NCHC and NCHC.TV. Subscribe now for all of the action from the best conference in college hockey. The University of Georgia, building the foundations of something bigger. Go to UGAHockey.com to find out how you can be a part of it on off the ice. Jets Pizza. We're not just pizza. Try our sidekick salads and calzones at JetsPizza.com. Adrian College. Championship aspirations on the ice and in the classroom. For more information, go to AdrianBulldogs.com/MHockeyD1. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos from coast to coast and beyond. Wherever you need to be, Caesars has a destination that suits your style. Central Oklahoma University Hockey. Go to UCOHockey.com to follow the two-time ACHA M1 National Champions as they look to add that third championship banner to the rafters. The Spaghetti Shack. ASU alumni owned and operated at thespaghettishack.com. University of Mary. Tickets and schedule information, visit goumary.com. The Caesars Sportsbook app, where every play earns you Caesars rewards towards dining, tickets, VIP experiences, and more. Jesse Ray's Barbecue, award-winning barbecue for your next catered event at jesseraysbarbecue.com. College Hockey Coast to Coast from the NCHC.TV studios is a part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network. Here are your hosts, Scott Strandy and Paul Hornstein.
Well, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy coming at you tonight live from St. Louis, Missouri, where it is a frigid St. Louis, Missouri. I'm not used to this, Paul Hornstein, 35 degrees with wind, and last night got down to like 26. I mean, what is this hockey stuff? I thought it was like 70 and sunny all the time with a light breeze off the beach.
Isn't that why you left?
Yeah. I left to go to the beach. I didn't mean to come back to this. Holy crap.
Obviously you did.
Paul Hornstein, by the way, joining me from that big, beautiful estate out on Long Island, New York.
Yeah, whatever.
Where cold is. He only knows what sunshine, rainbows, gumdrops, all that good stuff. Paul, I have one nostril that I cannot breathe out of right now.
Yeah, by the way, how did that whole thing work? Because you clearly found me out.
Yeah, we did see a place that belonged to Paul H., just outside of St. Charles, Missouri. Couple of Mercedes in the garage, couple of nice new cars outside, motorcycle, boat.
In Missouri?
Fancy estate. Yeah, fancy estate.
It wasn't mine, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, said Paul H., I don't know.
I have never lived in St. Louis.
Anyway.
I've driven through it.
Yeah.
We got pulled over when I was a kid just outside of St. Louis because my stepdad was speeding up as we were driving across the country because we were about to hit the 1,000-mile mark on our trip.
You and Chevy Chase, you didn't stop in a neighborhood and lose your wheels, did you?
No. We were on the interstate. Okay. We were just going to hit 1,000 miles, and we were like, ooh, we were all excited. I mean, I was, what, 9?
Then what happened?
The cop said, slow down. We said, thank you. And we went to that city down south that we don't acknowledge.
Oh, yeah. Some of us don't. I mean, I do. It's Tucson.
Where? What? Who? What?
Nope. They're getting a new rink there, by the way. 3 sheets.
Nice. Well, yeah. I assume the shovels are there.
Very soon, because I was told the April sometime. So I told
right.
I told Chad Berman, could you wait till I get back to like April 20th or later, till I get back out in the area.
Don't hold your breath.
No. You never know, though. Sometimes they do hold stuff up for me.
Well, I don't understand it, but okay. Well, I do understand it as they throw the rose petals at your feet. So,
hey, I got breaking news for you. As we
really?
to come on the air. I just heard from the great SID in North Dakota, Alex yeah. Stocker Johnson.
Yeah.
He says, I will reach out and get you one of your two players. Who did you choose? Who would you like? I asked for Jackson Blake or Hunter Johannes. I said, come on, dude. Don't make me pick. I said, who's ever available? He said, yeah. Who would you like first? I said, well, as much as Paul Hornstein's going to hate me, I'm going to go with Hunter Johannes because he has so many ties to Minnesota, the Frozen Faceoff, the potential Frozen Four, Lindenwood hockey, North Dakota hockey, Minnesota high school hockey. And I know Hunter a little bit. So
You just don't want me to ask Jackson Blake how many times has his father made him watch that penalty shot goal?
Well, I'm sure we're going to get Jackson, but I thought the better option would be to get Hunter first and maybe Jackson at the Frozen Faceoff, because I'm sure he'll be speaking.
I'm sure, but let's face it, that's the real reason why you made that decision.
Okay, I just didn't want you to call him Jason.
No, I didn't call him. I wasn't going to call him Jason. I know he's. I know the difference.
Okay. Anyway, that kid, by the way, is on his way to one of the fastest ever in North Dakota history to reach 100 points. And he's very close.
I don't doubt it.
So we'll see what happens with his future at North Dakota. But that's what they do with North Dakota. They produce NHL hockey players. Oh, and by the way, they also win national championships. They got 7.
Is that 9?
No, but 7's better than none.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
I just wanted to tell you that because I just got the email back from Alec earlier this evening. And I did get an email from the associate commissioner at the NCHC, Michael Weissman.
Really?
And Michael informed me that tomorrow's schedule for the coach student athlete availability via Zoom has St. Cloud State at 1:30 Central Time. It'll be Brett Larson and fifth-year senior captain Dylan Anhorn.
Right.
At 2 o'clock, it's going to be North Dakota head coach Brad Berry and senior captain Reese Gaber. These are Central Times because that's where they are. 2:40, Omaha head coach Mike Gabinet and graduate student captain Nolan Sullivan. And at 3:45, the Denver Pioneers head coach David Carl and captain McCade Webster will join the Zoom. So hopefully we'll get some good sound out of that as well. That is the preview, the Frozen Faceoff pre-championship media Zoom session.
So, of course, right at the time I'm driving home.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's always the way they plan it that way, I think.
I don't doubt it. I believe you probably tell Michael what my schedule is.
So anyway, that's the breaking news for tonight. We got all kinds of good stuff going on. And you're going to tell us about the East, since that's where you are. I want to start with something that I found extremely interesting today, Paul. When I just opened up the USCHO.com, yeah, I'll give them a free plug, their
nice
pairwise rankings. And what I see, at number 14, I see Colorado College at .5503.
Right.
I see Cornell, also 14. At .5474. I see St. Cloud at 14 at .5463. And just above them at 13 is Western Michigan at 5.5523. And the aforementioned UMass, or basically what I told you today, UMass at .5530. Now, to me, Paul, if you're in the .55s, anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have tried to tell you that.
I have.
It is so close. It's ridiculously close. I know you don't listen to me. That's part of the problem.
Anyway.
It is ridiculously close.
So let's go from 12 UMass again, just so you put this in your head. .5530 all the way down to Colorado College, which they have at 14 at .5503. My thought is, if UMass gets ousted on Friday night, they will probably change place with Colorado College, and Western Michigan will be in the middle. Here's the interesting thing, Paul. Western Michigan and Colorado College have no more games left to play unless they're in the tournament.
Right.
So they can't affect themselves.
Right.
So my question to you is, Cornell can affect themselves. They're a little bit farther behind at 0.5474.
Okay.
But they do have the opportunity to control their own fate.
Okay.
So to speak.
Right.
St. Cloud is at 0.5463.
Right.
They have the opportunity to control their own fate. Providence is at 0.5460. They're pretty much done. I don't know how they can get into the tournament. I don't see any path.
I don't think anybody sees a path. Anybody sees a path for them either, but who knows?
So my question
because I don't think they can finish any. According to one calculation, you know, one of the calculations, they can't finish any higher than 15th in the pairwise, and that's not going to cut it.
Nope, it will not.
So
my question to you is, and we're going to break this down here in just a little bit, but before we do that, just to get everybody's minds thinking about this as you listen, Omaha has just climbed over everybody.
Right.
They climbed over Western, Colorado College in their own league, and Massachusetts. Out in the east, and they've climbed all the way up to 11. So let's play devil's advocate here. How high can Omaha get? Can they catch Michigan? If they were to win the frozen faceoff, win two more games, can they catch Michigan? I don't think they can. I know they can't catch Wisconsin.
Maybe.
0.571.
Maybe. There's an outside chance that they could finish 10th, according to the computer.
Okay. And we know that Michigan is still playing.
Right. They have one more game.
So here's my second question for you. Colorado College has swept the number three team in the country, North Dakota.
Correct.
Two times at North Dakota, two times at Ed Robeson Arena. The further North Dakota goes in this crazy pairwise system, I'm using air quotes, I hate it. Can North Dakota's future successes, and meaning the next two games, can they effectively move Colorado College up?
I do not know.
Okay, just curious.
I do not know.
Because the pairwise, according to everybody that tells me about the pairwise, is, oh, it's about who you beat and what your opponents do and what your opponents do and this and that. Well, let's just say the Denver Pioneers win the Frozen Face, or the North Dakota Fighting Hawks win the Frozen Faceoff.
All right. Okay. Let's. All right. So, who are they playing in the championship game? Denver or St. Cloud?
They're playing Denver.
Okay. So, and you're saying North Dakota wins that?
Yep.
Okay, so, all right, we'll leave that.
Where does that move Colorado College?
I don't know. We have to fill out the whole thing before you can figure it out.
Oh, okay. So, you want to do that right now? Should we do it?
Well, yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. This is like filling out a basketball bracket, only not basketball.
I'm ready.
All right, so.
Where do you want to start?
Well, you tell me, because I'll let you pick.
No, you tell me where we're starting, and I'll tell you who the winners are.
Well, let's start with the championship game of Atlantic Hockey, RIT and AIC, at RIT.
RIT is going to win that.
Okay. All right.
That was easy. So,
well, yeah. Well,
sorry
that
about
was...
that, Eric, but RIT has had a great year, and they deserve to be a champion of their conference and in the tournament.
Okay. We're going to stick with the championship games that we have at this moment right now. We'll do that first.
Nice.
Okay. The CCHA. The 16th
Bemidji
seed.
State's going to win that because it's at home.
Okay.
It's going to be 29 degrees and a whiteout.
Okay. All right. That's
Bemidji
fine.
State over Michigan Tech.
Okay. I see you're going with a lot of chalk here so far.
No, I'm just going with the winners. Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. All right. Also a home game. The Spartans of Michigan State, the winners of the regular season championship in the Big Ten, hosting their in-state rivals, one of them, their biggest one. One of the other M schools there, Michigan, in the championship game.
Michigan State wins that one, Paul.
Okay. All right. All right, so here's where, you know, here's where we start to get a little wonky. All right. Okay. All right. Does St. Lawrence have a chance against Quinnipiac
at no way.
Lake Placid?
Okay. No way. Nope.
All right. Cornell and Team Tie. Dartmouth.
That one will be a battle.
Yeah, it will be, yes.
Dartmouth could win that one. I'm not sold that Cornell can is that dominant? I've seen Cornell play.
Don't put the pom poms on. Don't be grabbing no pom poms right now.
No.
You've seen both teams.
Yes.
Pick who you think will win that game.
Dartmouth.
Okay. I think we're doing some pom poms here, but okay.
Don't call me chalk.
Again, I'm just telling you, you're breaking out some pom poms here, but okay.
Pom poms for who? Dartmouth.
All right. Well, whatever. I'll look at the pairwise and you can figure it out.
Yeah, I know. Dartmouth is going to win. They're going to shock them because they're a much better team than people give them credit for. That 9-9-9 that they had for a while, that was impressive.
I admit that. I like that. So that's why we call them Team Tie. All right. So now you have the championship game between the defending national champion Quinnipiac Bobcats in the Dartmouth Big Green.
Oh, that's Quinnipiac all the way.
Okay.
Quinnipiac is destined for another conference championship and to make a run. They're not going to get to the Frozen Four, but they're going to make a run at it.
Okay. All right. Now we head to the Boston Garden.
And can you say that if you're from New York?
I don't know. Can I say Charlie McAvoy? I don't know.
Well, he's from Boston.
Yeah. one of the two games is the Terriers of Boston University.
Okay.
Against the Black Bears of the University of Maine. A school who, when I was growing up, for people that are not aware, was a pretty top-notch program. You would know that better than I would. But, you know, after the departure of Paul Kariya in the late 90s, early 2000s, their program hit the skids.
Yep.
So they are at least are back for this year.
They, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but they have a player by the name of Dustin Penner, who is from Winkler, Manitoba, which is about 50 people. And right. Played at Botano for my good friend Travis Trubchinski. And 2-year college, went on to play at Maine, went on to play in the pros, and had a very successful career in the pros with the Mighty Ducks. Were the Mighty Ducks that game. Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Dustin Penner.
Yeah.
Name to remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
And they are pretty much locked.
Oh, can I tell you one more thing about Dustin Penner?
Do I have a choice?
No.
Okay.
Travis Rybczynski told me the story about how he became a Botano Lumberjack. He got signed into school or admitted into school and on the team on Friday afternoon of the last day that you could register for classes and be eligible to play. And Travis got him in. And he was just a force. He was just a man among boys in the junior college ranks in Botano, North Dakota. About 2,000 people, about 800 students.
Sounds cool.
Very similar to something like Adrian. But this not. One was literally a stone's throw. If you look up Botano on the map, it's literally a stone's throw to the Canadian border.
I will not look that up because I will see how cold it is. I'm not doing that. All right,
when you go to Minot, you can go to Botano.
BU or Maine?
About 80 miles. You can ice fish.
No, that's never happening. That is never, ever happening.
Okay. So go ahead with the Maine Black Bears now that it totally derailed you.
That's fine. Be you or Maine.
I'm going to go off the charts on this one. I'm going to say Maine wins. They're both going to go to the tournament. They're both locks. But I think Maine has more to prove than BU. And okay. I'm not sold on BU as dominant as BC. I think BC is the class of Boston, if you will.
All right, so
I'm going BC. I mean, Maine over BU.
Okay. I mean, Maine is one of the few teams in the top that I have seen very little of.
Me too, but I'm still going with Maine.
And last but not least, the Hockey East regular season champion, Boston College Eagles, our buddy Jeff Walker's alma mater, playing number
name dropper,
four.
Name dropper.
Me, I would never do that. All right. Playing UMass, who is fighting for their tournament lives.
No, they I love you, Greg Carville. I love UMass. I love what you did when you won a championship. I love all that.
See the pom-poms.
But BC is going to roll. PC is going to roll. They just are too much, too deep. We've talked about it before. That record that they have, Paul, that record, by the way, is 29-5-1. There have not been very many teams in college hockey history that have posted that kind of a regular season. They're not done yet. Trust me, they're not done yet.
All right. So now you have to predict or put in who you think will win between BC and Maine.
BC.
Okay.
It'll be a close game, but BC wins.
All right. So you have all the chalk.
Not all.
Yes, you do. You have all the chalk winning the conference tournaments.
No, I picked Maine. Oh, on the conference tournaments. Yeah, of course. Because as I told you earlier today, I can tell you who the Frozen Four participants are going to be too, if you want.
Well, all right. Well, let's run it now and see.
Okay.
What comes up?
What comes up?
All right. So, you will be happy to know if you're correct. If you are correct. And it comes through chalk. Here would be obviously your AQs.
Okay.
BC, North Dakota, Michigan State, Quinnipiac, who would be in anyway.
Yep.
And they're 1, 3, 5, and 7 in the pairwise after your predictions.
Okay.
RIT.
Okay.
Again, as an AQ. And Bemidji State would come in as the 16 seed in the tournament.
Okay.
Here would be the at-larges. BU, all right. We obviously know. DU, Denver, we obviously know. And North Dakota would be slightly ahead. That will be an interesting decision by the committee if it came out that way, who to make the 3 and who to make the 4, because the 3 avoids Michigan State in their bracket.
Tell me that's not a big thing.
Oh, that is going to be a huge debate. Yeah, that's going to be a huge debate. Okay. Maine, the other maroon and gold team.
That being Minnesota, folks.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're locked.
Okay. Michigan would be in the 10 spot.
Okay.
The Mavericks of the University of Nebraska, Omaha, would be in the 11 spot. The 12 spot, and I guess it depends on how you want to break the tie, because it would be a quote-unquote tie, between your buddies from Kalamazoo.
Oh, Western Michigan.
And UMass.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not happy yet.
Huh?
I'm still not happy yet.
Well, whatever. Okay. Then, and if you think that that's going to cause problems, okay, even though it says a tie for 14th with St. Cloud, Providence, and Colorado College.
Wow.
Providence, wow. Providence is RPI, and under those scenarios, would be 5.49.
0.5449.
Yeah, 0.549. The okay. Providence, I'm sorry, St. Cloud would be 5.5428.
Okay.
Providence would be 0.5449.
Okay.
And the Tigers of Colorado College.
The Tigers.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay. That's what I said.
Don't say it again. would be at 0.5496.
How can Colorado College drop in their RPI from where they are right now if they are not playing?
I don't know. I'm not you'd have to ask the computer. I don't know. You'd have to ask the computer.
How can they lose RPI points if they aren't playing? And the team that they beat the most this year, North Dakota, is winning. I don't like that pairwise. I don't like it.
Either way, the UMass would be 0.5498 under that scenario.
Wow. Wow. That's all I can say.
Okay. Now, obviously, if other teams, if you're wrong in any of those spots.
Which I never am.
No, never. No, that never happens.
I think the Mets are going to win the World Series this year.
Okay. It doesn't work that. Again, it doesn't work that way if you just try to. All right. So let's not get crazy.
I'm pretty sure the Giants win the Super Bowl. That's.
Well, that ain't happening.
And the Islanders, oh, yeah, they got a cup in their future.
Yeah. If they go to the store and buy one. With his you want to talk about inconsistent, but that's a different show. So based on your predictions, that's how the final 16 would work itself out.
Oh, you can't, I don't like it. I don't like the pairwise.
I know you don't.
So you're going to try to tell me that Colorado College has had the year that they've had, played who they have. Paul, this weekend, they were at number 10 or number 11 for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they lost a one-goal game on Sunday night. As you said, they outplayed. Well, I don't know if they outplayed is the right word, but they had a lot more.
They outplayed Omaha for 8.5 out of 10 periods.
Yeah.
They just couldn't convert.
And they have 21 wins. Yeah. So assuming that St. Cloud doesn't get any more wins, Cornell doesn't get any more wins, Providence doesn't get any more wins, they have at least 2 more wins than everybody else. So here we go again. Pairwise does not give you consideration for wins. And now we're not talking about independence here. Now we're talking about the best and toughest conference in all of college hockey. And that's not going to reward the Colorado College Tigers for their efforts.
Well, Western Michigan lost and they became a lock. They became just about a lock.
I understand
they're
that.
They're a 99% chance of getting in.
But I don't have as much of a problem with that because they have 21 Why? Wins. Because I have a problem.
They lost.
They have 18.
But
or
they
17.
Lost. They yeah, lost.
Well, I know.
They got swept.
On the road, though, Paul. You know how that
feels. It doesn't matter. They still lost and got swept.
Yeah, but you know, soft schedules, they play a role in things. And a lot of home games. You don't get a lot. You know, so you go on the road, you're expected to move up even if you lose.
They lost and got swept.
I know. I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it a bit, but I like it less if they weren't in the 20-plus win category because I think, in my book, you shouldn't even be considered to play in the national tournament until you have 20 wins. If you can't win 20 times, then you don't belong in the top 16 in the country. Sorry, that's just the way I look at it. Because, you know, a football coach told me once you play to win the game.
Hush.
And if you don't win games, then what are you doing there? What are you doing there, St. Cloud, at 17-15-5? What are you doing there, Providence, at 18-13-4? Meanwhile, you got teams like New Hampshire, 20-15-1. They won 20. Arizona State, 24-8-6. They won 20. RIT, 26-10-2. They won 20. Come on, people. You can use a formula, any kind of formula you want, but you got to use some common sense as well. And it looks stupid, flat out stupid, to have teams that have won fewer games, sometimes as many as three, playing in the tournament versus teams that have won more. And I understand, I'm not going to argue with like Bemidji State and those teams that have the AQ. That's what the AQ is for. I'm talking about the at-large teams. If you want to break a tie, break it with wins and losses.
Again, you know, I had to listen to somebody tell me that AIC schedule was harder than ASU's. So I actually saw somebody post that comment.
They really meant that, or was that kind of just a?
I asked if they were trolling.
Yeah, they must have been. They must
have to be.
Because you'd have to look and see who. But anyway. We've talked to numerous coaches who say that they love the 16 teams in the tournament. We've talked to numerous coaches who have said, hey, listen, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. I wish I would have recorded. I think I have recorded them. I just have to pull them.
Yeah.
But I'd like to hear how many NCAA coaches told us, hey, listen, this is parody. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. Heard that over and over.
We've been hearing that for 2 years.
So if that's parity, then what difference does it make what your schedule was when you have 24 wins? We're not talking 19. We're not talking 20.
I get that.
We're talking 24 as opposed to 8 losses.
But, you know, if yes, parity, but you know, but then you have to back up your argument and you know, if you say that, like you said, then why is wins, regardless of who you're playing, not matter? I totally get that. Except it's parity until it comes time to the nitty gritty and making decisions. And it's
You
played
but...
more road games. You played more home games. You did this.
How about if you look over at the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, fourth column over where you look at winning percentage and you go down the list and you go, oh, Cornell had 16 wins, but they still only have 19, wins, but they
Ivy
have
League.
The eighth biggest winning percentage. How
is
about
that what that is?
Arizona
I don't know what
State?
That, I don't know.
What?
Is that what that column means?
You know what winning percentage means?
I do. Is that is that what that column means?
Yes. Arizona State and RIT actually are tied for fifth with a winning percentage of 70.7105. That means you won 70% of your games.
Okay.
And you're not worthy of a tournament bid?
And
you played all
I think
NCAA
they are.
Teams?
I think they are. You look at the percentages for other fields, right? I get what you're saying. Again,
let me give a devil's advocate here. In St. Cloud, I'm not picking on you, but
you are.
You have a
That's okay.
you have a .5270 winning percentage, barely over 50% of your games that you win. At 28th in the rankings on winning percentage in NCAA hockey. Don't you think it's worth something to win 71% of your games, no matter who you play, as long as they're all NCAA opponents? We're not talking 50, Paul. We're not talking 60, Paul. We're talking 71% of your games you won, and you're not getting a sniff.
Yeah.
Hello?
But, you know.
Time to tweak things.
Pairwise. You know. RPI. You know.
Yeah.
Opponents, whatever. Opponents.
Whatever. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you want to start being a little more accommodating to everybody in NCAA hockey, then let's start by saying you're not eligible for the NCAA tournament unless you have 20 wins. Because every year, Paul, I will guarantee you that you will find 16 teams with 20 wins. So that's the first criteria. Once you win 20, then we start ranking you. But you got to win 20 first. If you come in and you're sitting on the bubble like right now Providence is, and so-called
Bemidji has 20. Holy Cross has 21.
Yeah, you got to win 20 times, period. AIC's got 20.
Yeah, I know.
So why don't we start there? And then start ranking the teams from there. If you want to use some sort of a formula at that point, but you got to get to 20 first, and then you get ranked. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
We know.
And I think it stifles the growth.
We have plenty of
time
to
keep
talking about it.
I know. It stifles the growth of hockey.
I agree with you. They have to do something.
And they're not. We know that. They're not.
They're not going to do it. Right.
And what's going to end up happening is they're going to start losing teams, and then they're going to say, yeah, well, you know, it just didn't work out. They didn't do the right things.
Yeah.
No, the deck was stacked against you. Yeah, you don't have the choice. But, okay, let me quickly throw this in before we go to break. As you know, I just watched the ACHA tournament, M1, W1, fairly closely, men's and women's.
Yeah.
Both championships were won by Adrian. Let me tell you one more time, folks. They have one sheet of ice. One sheet.
Right.
Yet they have two national champions at the ACHA M1 and W1 level. So do not try to tell me that you can't do this if you don't have a will and a way. Because one sheet of ice producing that kind of performance, and I told you this before, I'm going to say more than just the ice. They divide their teams up. They take the Adrian Bulldogs, and each team, Paul, has their own identity. They're all Adrian Bulldogs, but they have a different logo. They have a different locker room. They have different, the colors are pretty much the same, but it's scattered around the way they do it. They have identified their teams, and they make each and every one of their teams their own entity within Adrian College. So don't tell me any school in NCAA hockey can't make this work if they really want to. It's about want to. And part of the want to, Paul, is finding the funds. Part of the want to is working with your administration at your school. Part of the want to is promoting your program. So don't tell me that it can't happen, because I'm watching it. I'm seeing it up close and personal. And I know there's some variables that are different, but if you have the want to, you can get it accomplished. Period.
Okay.
Okay. Nice. He says, okay, let's take a break. Let's come back and let's break down a little further what's going on upcoming this week. Here we go.
It's time to drop the puck on the nation's best college hockey conference. We bring you closer to the action all season long with access to exclusive on-demand content and more than 140 live games. Catch every big goal and clutch save. When you can't be there, we have you covered here. Stream on your phone, computer, or straight to your TV, and don't miss a moment from your favorite team. Subscribe now to watch the best in college hockey at NCHC.TV. If it's NCHC hockey, it's on NCHC.TV.
When you talk about the best of Las Vegas, you're talking about the best of the best. So when you're at Jesse Ray's Barbecue and you're a three-time winner of the Best of Las Vegas Award, it speaks for itself. At 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, come and savor our People's Choice award-winning barbecue ribs, or maybe just come in and pick up a bottle of our best in Las Vegas barbecue sauce to take home. Open 7 days a week, you can order online at jessierayesbarbecue.com. And for an occasion that will be remembered for a long time, call us for all of your catering projects at Jesse Ray's Barbecue today.
Passion, talent, development. NCAA hockey offers all that, and its players graduate at a 93% rate. Trevor Zegras.
And they score on the lacrosse move!
Stars on campus before the NHL stage. Whether you're a fan or a player, nothing compares to college hockey.
My goodness gracious,
visit collegehockeyinc.com and follow at College Hockey.
After a hard day at work or a long week, what's better than good comfort food to put you at ease? At the Spaghetti Shack, we say the answer is comfort food that's made by somebody else. The Spaghetti Shack has taken spaghetti and meatballs, the classic Italian comfort food, to a portable level. ASU alumni owned and operated, the Spaghetti Shack has three locations. At 6340 South Rural Road in Tempe, the ASU location at 922 East Apache Road, and 952 West White Mountain Road in Pine Top. For lunch, dinner, or catering as well, call us at 480-687-2485 or order online at thespaghettishack.com.
From the NCHC.TV studios, this is ITHSW Podcast's College Hockey Coast to Coast.
Indeed it is, College Hockey Coast to Coast. Scott Strandy with you tonight from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, where it's frigid. It's frigid, it's cold, it's like 33 degrees as we speak, 34 degrees, and it's miserable at the moment.
Better you than me.
My co-host, as always, Paul Hornstein, joining me from that big, beautiful palatial state, which is on Long Island, New York. Paul, we talked about all the scenarios. I thought that was a fun little exercise. I hope it's, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. But anyway, I'll get off of that soapbox for a little while. Let's quickly go around these championship games. Let's start with the games out east. ECAC.
I mean, I've been saying all along, I can't see anybody but Quinnipiac winning that league. I mean, I know you agree with me. They've been the most consistent team. They're going to, you know, and it's not that I don't think Cornell or Dartmouth have a chance to win. I just don't see it happening that way. Quinnipiac is just too good. And, you know, they have a lot of guys that, you know, that are back from a national championship winning team.
Yeah, let me throw this in. the difference between Quinnipiac and Dartmouth and Cornell is they've been there, done that. They right. understand the one and done scenario a little bit better. And this is the time when championship teams, and Quinnipiac certainly is that, this is a time where championship teams rise to the top. They're right. the ones that can find a way to win a one-goal game. And I'm not picking on UCC, but you haven't been there yet. And that's why I think, you know, maybe, and it was a great battle with Omaha, but maybe that was an ingredient that CC needed to get to. Maybe they needed to get a tough competition like Omaha to get to the frozen faceoff. And I'm sure that Coach Mayotte is using this as a learning experience as well.
There's no question.
It's a teaching moment. So anyway, I agree with you. Quinnipiac wins that. Let's move over to Hockey East.
Just hard to see anybody getting to that championship game other than BU and BC. I mean,
well, just... I think if there's a vulnerable, I already told you this. If there's a vulnerable one of those two, it's BU.
I don't know why. I'm not saying it can't happen. Again, this has been such a year for chalk that I can't. I just
find unless it, you're an independent.
Well, yeah, but that's. Those teams have been so dominant all year, and are they playing quote unquote for nothing? No, there's no doubt that you want to win your conference tournament. And the teams are, you know, very talented teams, as we know. And yes, if the Final Four that you predicted today, or to me,
I'll give actually, that at the end.
Actually happens, that just would be an insane amount of talent in those three games, but. I just don't see anybody in anything other than a BUBC hockey's championship game.
Now, okay.
That so could go either way once that happens, but I don't see anything else but that.
So. Well, let me tell you this. This should be all you need to know. There's a couple of numbers here three numbers, actually, that make Boston College stand out. Their RPI, 0.6229. Their winning percentage, 0.8429. And their number of wins and losses, 29-5-1. That's number one. That's not going to get unseated no matter what happens.
No.
So, anyway. Let's go over to Atlantic.
Well, I've been... on the RIT bandwagon all year, so.
Tigers. Didn't you tell me that today? We should expect them to win because they're Tigers?
No, you said that. I didn't.
Okay.
you
any more Tigers out there besides CC and RIT?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I just railed the whole show again.
Oh, by the way, again, I don't think that there are too many teams that, like you said, have won national championships that have as many wins as BC could have, especially by the end of the season. I mean, they're if they win the conference tournament, that gives them 31.
Yep. Then you got to win two and two more. So if you win the whole thing, you could have 35 wins by my account. That's pretty impressive.
Well, let's see how fast 35, I can
type. 5-1. Put that one down on a bulletin board somewhere and see if anybody can match it.
I know.
Oh, and by the way, as long as we're speaking of numbers, right. If you're an independent, you better shoot for 30 wins or you're not going to get a sniff at the tournament. And then even then, you might come in at 16 with 30 wins.
I get it.
So don't even look at coming in with 25 or 26 because that ain't going to get it done.
Yeah, well, obviously not.
Well, obviously do you happen to know how hard it is to win 26 to 30 games in a year? It's nearly impossible. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Let's see. See if I put this in correctly. Let's see. Team records. All right, that would be. Let's see what we got here.
Well, Paul Hornstein doing computer work on the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not the first time I've done it.
Well, he does that, folks. I will remind you that the CCHA also has a tournament. We haven't got through Atlantic yet, but we did get through Atlantic.
Yes, we did. Our team. Yeah.
CCHA is left. And you know what? Ever since we visited with Tom Ceratori.
Well, they've done his win, baby.
Yep. Yeah, that's no coincidence, my friends. No coincidence.
No, clearly not. the king has spoken. So they realize that they have to win or face the king's wrath.
Yeah. Well, I told them, I said, here's the deal. You win the CCHA and get into the tournament. We'll cover you next year. We'll add you, St. Cloud, and Minnesota State. And immediately St. Cloud went on winning streak. Immediately Bemidji State said, I don't know what the heck happened with Mankato and Minnesota State, but they're still in the area. They're still west of the Mississippi, so.
Well, yeah, well, I don't know anything about geography. Well
here's the deal. All of our teams then would be true west of the Mississippi.
Right.
All of them. True.
Well, you're the map guru.
Okay.
Well, according to, let's see, the school records for wins, at least, Maine had 42 wins 1 year. Northern and Michigan State with 38. Bowling Green 1 year won 37. So there's a bunch of teams that have done it. In a slightly different era, obviously. A lot of those happened in the 80s and early 90s.
So this is a pretty darn impressive job by Boston College, and we're in agreement.
So
let's get to the CCHA, because I think you believe that I believe what I believe, which is Bemidji State's going to win this.
Bemidji State could win. Will is likely to win. Home ice.
29 degrees. A whiteout.
It's Minnesota, right? There's going to be a whiteout no matter what. Right? Or is that just my imagination?
No, pretty much that's the truth. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm again.
Okay, so. Let me preface before we get to the end of the show and I tell you who my final four Frozen Four teams are.
Okay.
This will be one of the best regional NCAA tournaments ever. And the reason I believe that is you have two great hosts out east and you have two very good, if not great, hosts out west. They haven't done it many times, if ever, in Sioux Falls. Right. And in St. Louis, but we know what they're putting into the efforts. We know what's at stake. And for years, Paul, it's always been, okay, three in the East, one in the West. Three in the East, one in the West. Now it's finally starting to even out a little bit. There's, the last couple of years, Loveland hosted, which is true West. So now things are starting to shift. We're starting to even out a little bit. Teams are starting to be able to, I wish Arizona State could host one, and maybe they will if they go back to allowing campus sites, but there just isn't a building in Arizona that could host a regional other than Mullet, and Mullet obviously wouldn't be able to unless they change the rules. But anyway, the farther west that you move, and soon there's going to be a NCAA Frozen Four in Las Vegas.
Correct. Well, let's look. Well, you have St. Louis and Sioux Falls this year.
Yep.
Next year, Fargo and Toledo, which is not really west, but
no, not west at all.
Not really west. No.
And Fargo again. Fargo is like Sioux Falls. They kind of got this building because they built it for a USHL team, and that fits the mold. It's only about 5,000 in there. Very similar to Mullet,
right?
But you need a building that's played in the USHL to open up Western spots, and unfortunately, USHL just isn't spread far enough west yet.
Well, there are places that could do it. There's obviously not the interest.
Yep. Well, one of them would be in Prescott. That building could hold it. Arizona State could host one there.
Yeah. They could have one in Dubuque.
True.
You know, I mean, we could go down the whole list of USHL teams.
I'm talking about way out west. I mean, Arizona State could host one, but it would have to be in Prescott, and that wouldn't be nearly as engaging for fans. Nothing wrong with Prescott. No,
probably
but
wouldn't be.
It is north of the valley, and that wouldn't be nearly as engaging as, you know. And I think Vegas now is an option. I think Arizona State could host a regional in Henderson, for example.
Well, I guess they could. I don't know if that would be infringing theoretically on quote-unquote rights, territorial rights.
On who?
You know, well, I'm just, you know, people in a certain other state that has a lot of connections to Vegas might be upset at that.
Okay, well, they could also, Arizona State could also host in Palm Springs.
They could. They could. That would be nice. Anyway, the year that in 2026 when the Frozen Four actually is in Vegas, and I know everyone's going to hate that. No one's going to show up for that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No. they have two regionals. They have Sioux Falls and again in Loveland. So that's another year where they have two, quote, Western regionals.
Well, and let me tell you something. I was at Loveland 2 years ago, as you know, and walked in the snow and the cold. Anyway, I can tell you about Loveland. I love that building for AHL games, but that wasn't even close to capacity for the regional. It was, and that's why these people that are so down on St. Louis, that's a bunch of crap. St. Louis is, that building will be packed. It'll be rocking. It's a great environment. The teams are going to love their stay there. It's got everything, and it's going to be a full house. Could they probably have used 2,000 more seats? Sure, maybe, but I'm telling you that Loveland is too big for a regional, because it's very similar to what Arizona State would have if they tried to host in Prescott. It's north of Denver, whereas Prescott is north of Arizona State's campus.
Right.
So, you know, you'd have a hard time with that. There's not the same type of amenities that you get in St. Louis. I mean, you can go to this arena at Centene Community Ice Center, and you can stay literally anywhere in the St. Louis metro area and drive there easily. And there are plenty of hotels.
Well,
my good friends here at Candlewood, St. Charles, Missouri.
I don't doubt that.
So anyway,
I don't doubt that. By the way.
Yeah.
Again, right? You have USHL teams in Waterloo, Iowa.
Yep.
Lincoln, Nebraska. Des Moines, yep. Iowa. Omaha. Yep. Right? That wouldn't be on campus.
Nope.
Would it? They might play in the Baxter Arena. I don't know. So you have some places in the quote-unquote West that you would have that have USHL buildings. About going to Chicago.
Yeah. I don't know if the Steelers building would be the best
I don't know either. I'm just, you know, throwing it out there.
There's plenty of opportunities. So anyway, right. so I'm going to tell you right up front right now that if you're going to any regional or you're watching any on TV, the regional action this year will be some of the best ever. And if they get the teams in the right spot, what I trust they will, you will see a lot of sellouts. You'll see some in Sioux Falls. You'll definitely see it in St. Louis. And I'm sure Springfield and Providence will hold their own as well.
I'm sure that's what the NCAA is hoping, so that people shut up.
Well, we know one person that won't shut up about St. Louis. So anyway, we'll leave it at that. Okay, so here we go. You want to know my prediction? I think this will be one of the best Frozen Fours that we will ever see. And it's going to be played at the Xcel Energy Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the four teams that are coming in are going to be all chalk. Because this year, Paul, the four teams, and I'm talking Boston College, Boston University, North Dakota, and Denver, are just better than every other team. Now, does that mean that there couldn't be an upset? Of course, there's going to always be an upset. Michigan State could sneak in. Quinnipiac could sneak in. Even Minnesota, Wisconsin could sneak in. But I don't think when push comes to shove, and we're talking about the preview of the Frozen Four, I don't think you're going to be leaving out any one of those four teams. And I just think that they've earned it. And when they've earned it, they'll show it. And can you imagine, Paul Hornstein, BC, BU, North Dakota, and Denver, you wouldn't be able to leave your seat.
No, you'd miss too much.
Yeah.
You would miss a lot.
So that's my prediction. I think it's all chalk. You can call me a homer. You can call me easy pick. You can do whatever. But I believe that's the way it's going to roll out. That's not to mean that it's not going to be exciting and there's going to be some nail biters and things. But I think that's how it happens. And I will say, if there's a team or two that can pull the major upset, be very careful of the Omaha Mavericks and be very careful of Colorado College should they get in. Because I think we both agree that those two teams play a style of hockey that are really good in one-and-done scenarios.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just remind the audience, Paul, how many times has North Dakota lost to Omaha and Colorado College?
Well, it's insane that the fact that
what's North Dakota's record against those two schools?
North Dakota's record against those two schools is 1-7.
That's just ridiculous. Yeah. That is ridiculous. Okay, I got nothing more.
Yeah, well, you know, I hear you. I'm looking forward to next weekend. From the NCHC.TV studios, this has been College Hockey Coast to Coast, brought to you by Jesse Ray's Barbecue at 308 North Boulder Highway in Henderson, where our food can be summed up in one word, perfection. Liberty University, strengthen your faith and your game at the premier ACHA M1 program on the East Coast at liberty.edu. Caesars Sportsbook app, proud partner of the NHL. College Hockey, Inc., your NCAA hockey resource. Spaghetti Shack, classic Italian comfort food quickly with two locations in Tempe and one in Pine Top. Lunch, dinner, or your next catered event at thespaghettishack.com. Caesars Entertainment Resorts and Casinos, where the action is from the Atlantic to the Pacific and around the world. And by FedEx, deliveries made easy no matter where you are, the official delivery company of Ice Time Hockey West. College Hockey Coast to Coast and all of the Ice Time Hockey West podcasts live every week on the Podbean app or for download on your favorite podcast platform, searching and subscribing at ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. That's ITHSW Podcasts, all one word. If you like what you hear, tell a friend or leave a positive review. College Hockey Coast to Coast, part of the IceTimeHockeyWest.com network.
Very well done, my friend. I did also just receive confirmation that tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central Time, I will be visiting with Hunter Johannes.
Nice.
From the University of North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Good thing I'm talking to him and not you, because you probably call him a Fighting Sioux.
Okay.
So Hunter will be joining us at 1, and then I'll have as many clips as I can grab from the coaches and student-athlete side of the press conference tomorrow for the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. You won't want to miss tomorrow night show, folks. We'll say goodnight with little Roger Klein, the Peacemakers. Hello, New Day. Good night, everybody.
Good night.